This is Audible.
From Simon & Schuster Audio.
Folger Theater at Folger Shakespeare Library presents Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare.
Two households, both alike in dignity, in fair Verona, where we lay our scene. From ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean. From forth the fatal loins of these two foes, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life, whose misadventured piteous overthrows doth with their death bury their parents' strife. The fearful passage of their death-marked love and the continuance of their parents' rage, which, but their children's end, naught could remove, is now the 2 hours' traffic of our stage, the which, if you with patient ears attend, what here shall miss, our toil shall strive to mend.
Gregory, on my word, we'll not carry coals.
No, but then we should be colliers.
I mean, and we be in collar, we'll draw.
Aye, while you live, draw your neck out of collar.
I strike quickly, being moved.
But thou art not quickly moved to strike.
A dog of the house of Montague moves me.
To move is to stir, and to be valiant is to stand. Therefore, if thou art moved, thou runst away.
A dog of that house shall move me to stand. I will take the wall of any man or maid of Montague's.
That shows thee a weak slave, for the weakest goes to the wall.
'Tis true, and therefore women, being the weaker vessels, are ever thrust to the wall. Therefore, I will push Montague's men from the wall and thrust his maids to the wall.
The quarrel is between our masters and us, their men.
'Tis all one. I will show myself a tyrant. When I have fought with the men, I will be civil with the maids. I will cut off their heads.
The heads of the maids?
Aye, the heads of the maids. Or their maiden heads. Take it in what sense thou wilt.
They must take it in sense that feel it.
Me they shall feel while I am able to stand, and 'tis known I am a pretty piece of flesh.
'Tis well thou art not fish. If thou hadst, thou hast been poor John. Draw thy tool. Here comes of the house of Montagues.
My naked weapon is out. Quarrel, I will back thee.
How? Turn thy back and run?
Fear me not.
No, Mary, I fear thee.
Let us take the law of our sides. Let them begin.
I will frown as I pass by and let them take it as they list.
Nay, as they dare. I will bite my thumb at them, which is disgrace to them if they bear it.
Do you bite your thumb at us, sir?
I do bite my thumb, sir.
Do you bite your thumb at us, sir?
Is the law of our side if I say I?
No.
No, sir. I do not bite my thumb at you, sir. But I bite my thumb, sir.
Do you quarrel, sir?
Quarrel, sir. No, sir.
But if you do, sir, I am for you. I serve as good a man as you.
No, better.
Well, sir.
Say better. Here comes one of my master's kinsmen.
Yes, better, sir.
You lie.
Draw, if you be men. Gregory, remember thy washing blow.
Heart, fools! Put up your swords. You know not what you do.
What? Art thou drawn among these heartless hinds? Turn thee, Benvolio. Look upon thy death.
I do but keep the peace. Put up thy sword, or manage it to part these men with me.
What? Drawn, and talk of peace? I hate the word, as I hate hell, all Montagues, and thee. Have at thee, coward!
What noise is this? Give me my long sword. Ho!
A crutch! We call you for a sword.
My sword, I say. Old Montague has come and flourishes his blade in spite of me.
Thou villain Capulet, hold me not. Let me go.
Thou shalt not stir one foot to seek a foe.
Rebellion!
rebellious subjects, enemies to peace, profaners of this neighbor-stained steel. What will they not hear? What ho, you men, you beasts that quench the fire of your pernicious rage with purple fountains issuing from your veins on pain of torture. From those bloody hands, throw your mistempered weapons to the ground and hear the sentence of your moved prince. 3 civil brawls, bred of an airy word by thee, old Capulet, and Montague, have thrice disturbed the quiet of our streets and made Verona's ancient citizens cast by their grave beseeming ornaments to wield old partisans in hands as old, cankered with peace, to part your cankered hate. If ever you disturb our streets again, your lives shall pay the forfeit of the peace. For this time, all the rest depart away. You, Capulet, shall go along with me, and Montague, come you this afternoon to know our farther pleasure in this case, to old Freetown, our common judgment place. Once more, on pain of death, all men depart.
Who set this ancient quarrel new of Roach? Speak, nephew, were you by when it began?
Here were the servants of your adversary, and yours, close fighting ere I did approach. I drew to part them. In the instant came the fiery Tybalt with his sword prepared, which, as he breathed defiance to my ears, he swung about his head and cut the winds, who, nothing hurt withal, hissed him in scorn. While we were interchanging thrusts and blows, came more and more, and fought on part and part, till the prince came, who parted either part.
Oh, where is Romeo? Saw you him today? Right glad I am he was not at this fray.
Madam, an hour before the worshipped sun peered forth the golden window of the east, a troubled mind drove me to walk abroad, where underneath the grove of sycamore that westward rooteth from the city side, so early walking did I see your son. Towards him I made, but he was ware of me and stolen to the covert of the wood. I, measuring his affections by my own, which then most sought where most might not be found, being one too many by my weary self, pursued my humor, not pursuing his, and gladly shunned who gladly fled from me.
Many a morning hath he there been seen, with tears augmenting the fresh morning's dew, adding to clouds more clouds with his deep sighs. But also soon as the all-cheering sun should in the farthest east begin to draw the shady curtains from Aurora's bed, away from night steals home my heavy son, and private in his chamber pens himself, shuts up his windows, locks fair daylight out, and makes himself an artificial night. Black and portentous must this humor prove, unless good counsel may the cause remove.
My noble uncle, do you know the cause?
I neither know it nor can learn of him.
Have you importuned him by any means?
Both by myself and many other friends. But he, his own affection's counselor, is to himself. I will not say how true, but to himself so secret and so close, so far from sounding and discovery, as is the bud bit with an envious worm ere he can spread his sweet leaves to the air or dedicate his beauty to the same. Could we but learn from whence his sorrows grow, we would as willingly give cure as know.
See where he comes. So please you, step aside. I'll know his grievance or be much denied.
I would thou wert so happy by thy stay to hear true shrift. Come, madam, let's away.
Good morrow, cousin.
Is the day so young?
But news struck 9.
I'm me. Sad hours seem long. Was that my father that went hence so fast?
It was. What sadness lengthens Romeo's hours?
Not having that which having makes them short.
Ah, in love.
Out.
Of love.
Out of her favor where I am in love.
Alas, that love so gentle in his view should be so tyrannous and rough in proof.
Alas, that love, whose view is muffled still, should without eyes see pathways to his will. Where shall we dine? Oh, me. What fray was here? Yet tell me not, for I have heard it all. Here's much to do with hate, but more with love. Why then, oh, brawling love! Oh, loving hate. Oh, anything of nothing first create. Oh, heavy lightness, serious vanity, misshapen chaos of well-seeming forms. Feather of lead, bright, smoke, cold, fire, sick health. Still waking sleep that is not what it is. This love feel I that feel no love in this. Dost thou not laugh?
No, cuz, I rather weep.
Good heart, at what?
At thy good heart's oppression.
Why, such is love's transgression. Griefs of mine own lie heavy in my breast, which thou wilt propagate to have it pressed with more of thine. This love that thou hast shown doth add more grief to too much of mine own. Love is a smoke made with the fume of sighs. Being purged, a fire sparkling in lover's eyes. Being vexed, a sea nourished with loving tears. What is it else? A madness most discreet. A choking gall and a preserving sweet. Farewell, my cuz.
Soft, I will go along, and if you leave me so, you do me wrong.
Tut, I have lost myself. I am not here. This is not Romeo. He's some other where.
Tell me, in sadness, who is that you love?
What? Shall I groan and tell thee?
Groan? Why, no. But sadly, tell me who.
A sick man in sadness makes his will, a word ill-urged to one that is so ill. In sadness, cousin, I do love a woman.
I aimed so near when I supposed you loved.
A right good markman. And she's fair, I love.
A right fair mark, fair cuz, is soonest hit.
Well, in that hit you miss. She'll not be hit with Cupid's arrow. She hath Diane's wit. And in strong proof of chastity, well armed from love's weak childish bow, she lives uncharmed. She will not stay the siege of loving terms, nor bide the encounter of assailing eyes, nor overlap to saint seducing gold. Oh, she is rich in beauty, only poor that when she dies, with beauty dies her store.
Then she hath sworn that she will still live chaste?
She hath, and in that sparing makes huge waste. For beauty, starved with her severity, cuts beauty off from all posterity. She is too fair, too wise, wisely too fair to merit bliss by making me despair. She hath forsworn to love, and in that vow do I live dead that live to tell it now.
Be ruled by me. Forget to think of her.
Oh, teach me how I should forget to think.
By giving liberty unto thine eyes. Examine other beauties.
'Tis the way to call hers exquisite in question more. These happy masks that kiss fair ladies' brows, being black, puts us in mind they hide the fair. He that is struck and blind cannot forget the precious treasure of his eyesight lost. Show me a mistress that is passing fair. What doth her beauty serve but as a note where I may read who passed that passing fair? Farewell. Thou canst not teach me to forget.
I'll pay that doctrine, or else die in debt.
But Montague is bound as well as I, and penalty alike, and 'tis not hard, I think, for men so old as we to keep the peace.
Of honorable reckoning are you both, and pity 'tis you lived at odds so long. But now, my lord, what say you to my suit?
But saying all what I have said before, my child is yet a stranger in the world. She had not seen the change of 14 years. Let 2 more summers wither in their pride ere we may think her ripe to be a bride.
Younger than she are happy mothers made.
And 2 soon marred are those so early made. Earth hath swallowed all my hopes but she. She's the hopeful lady of my earth. But woo her, gentle Paris, get her heart. My will to her consent is but a part. And she agreed. Within her scope of choice lies my consent and fair according voice. This night I hold an old accustomed feast, whereto I have invited many a guest such as I love, and you among the store, one more, most welcome, makes my number more.
at my poor house, look to behold this night earth treading stars that make dark heaven light. Such comfort as do lusty young men feel when well-apparelled April on the heel of limping winter treads, even such delight among fresh fennel buds shall you this night inherit at my house. Hear all see, and like her most whose merit most shall be, which on more view of many, mine being one, may stand in number, though in reckoning none. Come, go with me.
Go, sirrah, trudge about through fair Verona, find those persons out whose names are written there, and to them say my house and welcome on their pleasure stay.
Find them out whose names are written here. Oh. It is written that the shoemaker should meddle with his yard, and the tailor with his last, the fisher with his pencil, and the painter with his nets.
Oh.
But I am sent to find those persons whose names are here writ, and can never find what names the writing person hath here writ. Oh! I must to the learned. In good time.
Tut, man! One fire burns out another's burning. One pain is lessened by another's anguish. Turn giddy and be helped by backward turning. One desperate grief cures with another's languish. Take thou some new infection to thy eye, and the rank poison of the old will die.
Your plant and leaf is excellent for that.
For what, I pray thee?
For your broken shin.
Ah, why, Romeo, art thou mad?
Not mad, but bound more than a madman is. Shut up in prison, kept without my food, whipped and tormented and... Good e'en, good fellow.
Good e'en. I pray, sir. Can you read?
Aye, mine own fortune and my misery.
Perhaps you have learned it without book, but I pray... Can you read anything you see?
Aye, if I know the letters and the language.
You say honestly. Rest you merry.
Stay, fellow. I can read. Signor Martino and his wife and daughters. County Anselm and his beauteous sisters. The lady widow of Vitruvio. Signor Placentio and his lovely nieces. Mercutio and his brother Valentine. Mine uncle Capulet, his wife and daughters, my fair niece Rosaline and Livia, Signor Valentio and his cousin Tybalt, Lucio and the lively Helena. A fair assembly. Whither should they come?
Up.
Whither? To supper?
To our house.
Whose house?
My master's.
Indeed, I should have asked thee that before.
Now I'll tell you without asking. My master is the great rich Capulet, and if you be not of the house of Montagues, I pray, come and crush a cup of wine. Rest you merry.
At this same ancient feast of Capulet sups the fair Rosaline, whom thou so loves, with all the admired beauties of Verona. Go thither. And with unattainted eye, compare her face with some that I shall show, and I will make thee think thy swan a crow.
When the devout religion of mine eye maintained such falsehood, then turn tears to fire, and these who, often drowned, could never die, transparent heretics, be burnt for liars. One fairer than my love. The all-seeing sun ne'er saw her match since first the world begun.
Tut, you saw her fair, none else being by, herself poised with herself in either eye. But in that crystal scales, let there be weighed your lady's love against some other maid that I will show you shining at this feast, and she shall scant show well that now seems best.
I'll go along, no such sight to be shown, but to rejoice in splendor of mine own.
Thank you.
Nurse, where's my daughter? Call her forth to me.
Now, by my maidenhead, at 12 year old, I bade her come. What lamb? What ladybird? God forbid, where's this girl? What, Juliet?
How now? Who calls?
Your mother.
Madam, I am here. What is your will?
This is the matter. Nurse, give leave a while. We must talk in secret. Nurse, come back again. I have remembered me. Thou's here, our counsel. Thou knowest my daughter's of a pretty age.
Faith, I can tell her age unto an hour.
She's not 14.
I'll lay 14 of my teeth. And yet to my teen, be it spoken, I have but 4. She's not 14. How long is it now to Lammastide?
A fortnight and odd days.
Even or odd of all the days in the year, come Lammas Eve at night shall she be 14. Susan and she, God rest all Christian souls, were of an age. Well, Susan is with God. She was too good for me. But, as I said, on Lammas Eve at night shall she be 14. That shall she. Marry, I remember it well. 'Tis since the earthquake, now 11 years, and she was weaned, I never shall forget it, of all the days of the year, upon that day. For I had then laid wormwood to my dug, sitting in the sun under the dove house wall. My lord and you were then at Mantua. Nay, I do bear a brain. But as I said, when it did taste the wormwood on the nipple of my dug, and felt it bitter, pretty fool, to see it tetchy and fall out with the dug, shake, quoth the dove house, 'twas no need, I trow, to bid me trudge. And since that time it is 11 years, for then she could stand high lone. Nay, by the rood, she could have run and waddled all about, for even the day before she broke her brow. And then my husband, God be with his soul, he was a merry man, took up the child. Yea, quoth he, dost thou fall upon thy face? Thou wilt fall backward when thou hast more wit, wilt thou not, Jewel? And by my holidam, the pretty wretch left crying and said, aye. To see now how a jest shall come about. I warrant, and I should live 1,000 years, I never should forget it. Wilt thou not, Jewel? Quoth he, and pretty fool, it stinted, and said, aye.
Enough of this, I pray thee, hold thy peace.
Yes, madam, yet I cannot choose but laugh, to think it should leave crying, and say, aye. And yet, I warrant, it had upon its brow a bump as big as a young cockerel stone, a perilous knock, and it cried bitterly, yea. Nay, quoth my husband, falst upon thy face. Thou wilt fall backward when thou comest to age. Wilt thou not, Jewel? It stinted and said aye.
And stint thou too, I pray thee, nurse, say aye.
Oh, peace, I have done. God mark thee to his grace. Thou wast the prettiest babe that e'er I nursed. And I might live to see thee married once. I have my wish.
Marry, that marry is the very theme I came to talk of. Tell me, daughter Juliet, how stands your disposition to be married?
It is an honor that I dream not of.
An honor? Were not I thine only nurse, I would say thou hadst sucked wisdom from thy teat.
Well, think of marriage now. Younger than you, here in Verona, ladies of esteem are made already mothers. By my count, I was your mother much upon these years that you are now a maid. Thus, then, in brief, the valiant Paris seeks you for his love.
A man, young lady, lady, such a man as all the world. Why, he's a man of wax.
Verona's summer hath not such a flower.
Nay, he's a flower, in faith a very flower.
What say you? Can you love the gentleman? This night you shall behold him at our feast. Read o'er the volume of young Paris' face, and find delight writ there with beauty's pen. Examine every married lineament, and see how one another lends content. And what obscured in this fair volume lies, find written in the margent of his eyes. This precious book of love, this unbound lover to beautify him, only lacks a cover. The fish lives in the sea, and 'tis much pride for fair without the fair within to hide. That book in many's eyes doth share the glory that in gold clasps locks in the golden story. So shall you share all that he doth possess by having him, making yourself no less.
No less, nay bigger. Women grow by men.
Speak briefly. Can you like of Paris love?
I'll look to like if looking liking move. But no more deep will I endart mine eye than your consent gives strength to make it fly.
Madam! The guests are come. Supper served up. You called. My young lady asked for the nurse, cursed in the pantry, and everything in extremity. I must hence to wait. I beseech you, follow straight.
We follow thee.
Juliet, the county stays. Go, girl. Seek happy nights to happy days.
What, shall this speech be spoke for our excuse, or shall we on without apology?
The date is out of such prolixity. We'll have no Cupid hoodwinked with a scarf bearing a Tartar's painted bow of lath scaring the ladies like a crow keeper, nor no without book prologue faintly spoke after the prompter for our entrance. But let them measure us by what they will. We'll measure them a measure and be gone.
Give me a torch. I am not for this ambling. Being but heavy, I will bear the light.
Nay, gentle Romeo, we must have you dance.
Not I, believe me. You have dancing shoes with nimble soles. I have a soul of lead, so stakes me to the ground I cannot move.
You are a lover. Borrow Cupid's wings and soar with them above a common bound.
I am too sore and pierced with his shaft to soar with his light feathers, and so bound I cannot bound a pitch above dull woe. Under love's heavy burden do I sink.
And to sink in it should you burden love, too great oppression for a tender thing.
Is love a tender thing? It is too rough, too rude, too boisterous, and it pricks like thorn.
If love be rough with you, be rough with love. Prick love for pricking, and you beat love down. Give me a case to put my visage in. A visor for a visor. What care I what curious eye doth coat deformities? Here are the beetle brows shall blush for me.
Come, knock and enter, and no sooner in, but every man but take him to his legs.
A torch for me. Let wanton's light of heart tickle the senseless rushes with their heels. For I am proverb with a grandsire phrase. I'll be a candle holder and look on. Oh. The game was ne'er so fair, and I am done.
Tut, done's the mouse, the constable's own word. If thou art done, we'll draw thee from the mire, or save your reverence love, wherein thou stickest up to the ears. Come, we burn daylight, ho!
Nay, that's not so.
I mean, sir, in delay we waste our lights. In vain light lights by day. Take our good meaning, for our judgment sits five times in that air, once in our five wits.
And we mean well in going to this mask, but 'tis no wit to go.
Why, may one ask?
I dreamt a dream tonight.
And so did I.
Well, what was yours?
That dreamers often lie.
In bed, asleep, while they do dream things true.
Oh. Then I see Queen Mab hath been with you. She is the fairy's midwife. And she comes in shape no bigger than an agate stone on the forefinger of an alderman. Drawn with a team of little atomy over men's noses as they lie asleep. Her wagon spokes made of long spinner's legs. The cover of the wings of grasshoppers, her traces of the smallest spider web, her collars of the moonshine's watery beams, her whip of cricket's bone, the lash of film, her wagoner a small gray-coated gnat, not half so big as a round little worm, pricked from the lazy finger of a maid. Her chariot is an empty hazelnut, made by the joiner squirrel or old grub, time out of mind the fairy's coachmakers. And in this state, she gallops night by night through lovers' brains. And then they dream of love. On courtiers' knees that dream on curses straight. Or lawyers' fingers who straight dream on fees. Or ladies' lips who straight on kisses dream. Which off the angry Mab with blisters plagues because their breaths with sweetmeats tainted are. Sometimes she gallops o'er a courtier's nose, and then dreams he of smelling out a suit. And sometime comes she with a tithe pig's tail, tickling a parson's nose as he lies asleep. Then he dreams of another benefice. Sometimes she driveth o'er a soldier's neck, and then dreams he of cutting foreign throats, of breeches, ambuscados, Spanish blades, of helves 5 fathom deep, and then anon drums in his ear, at which he starts and wakes, and being thus frighted, swears a prayer or two and sleeps again. This is that very Mab that plats the manes of horses in the night and bakes the elf locks and foul, sluttish hairs, which once untangled, much misfortune bodes. This is the hag, when maids lie on their backs, that presses them and learns them first to bear, making them women of good carriage. This is she!
Peace, peace, Mercutio, peace. Thou talkst of nothing.
True, I talk of dreams, which are the children of an idle brain, begot of nothing but vain fantasy, which is as thin of substance as the air, and more inconstant than the wind, who woos even now the frozen bosom of the north, and being angered, puffs away from thence, turning his side to the dew-dropping south.
This wind you talk of blows us from ourselves. Supper is done, and we shall come too late.
I fear too early. For my mind misgives some consequence yet hanging in the stars shall bitterly begin his fearful date with this night's revels, and expire the term of a despised life closed in my breast by some vile forfeit of untimely death. But he that hath the steerage of my course, direct my sail. On, lusty gentlemen!
Strike drum!
Where's Potpan that he helps not to take away? He shift a trencher. He scrape a trencher.
When good manners shall lie all in one or two men's hands, and they unwashed too, is a foul thing.
Away with the joint stools. Remove the court cupboard. Look to the plate. Good thou, save me a piece of march pain. And as thou loves me, let the porter let in Susan Grindstone and Nell. Anthony and Potpan!
Aye, boy, ready.
You are looked for and called for, asked for and sought for in the great chamber.
We cannot be here and there, too. Cheerly, boys! Be brisk a while, and the longer liver take all.
Oh. Welcome, gentlemen. Ladies that have their toes unplagued with corns will walk about with you. Ah, my mistresses, which of you all will now deny to dance? She that makes dainty, she, I'll swear, hath corns. Well, am I come near you now? Ah, welcome, gentlemen. I have seen the day that I have worn a visor and could tell a whispering tale in a fair lady's ear, such as would please. Tis gone. You are welcome, gentlemen. Come, musicians, play!
Oh.
A hall, give room, and foot it, girls. More light, you knaves, and turn the tables up, and quench the fire, the room has grown too hot. Ah, sirrah, this unlooked-for sport comes well. Nay, sit, good cousin Capulet, for you and I are past our dancing days. How long is now since last yourself and I were in a mask?
By your lady, 30 years.
What, man, 'tis not so much. 'Tis since the nuptial of Lucentio come Pentecost as quickly as it will, some 25 years, and then we masked.
'Tis more. His son is elder, sir. His son is 30.
Will you tell me that? His son was but a ward 2 years ago.
What lady's that which doth enrich the hand of yonder knight?
I know not, sir.
Oh, she doth teach the torches to burn bright. It seems she hangs upon the cheek of night as a rich jewel in an Ethiop's ear. Beauty too rich for use, for earth too dear. So shows a snowy dove trooping with crows as yonder lady or her fellow shows. The measure done, I'll watch her place of stand, and touching hers, make blessed my rude hand. Did my heart love till now? Forswear it sight, for I ne'er saw true beauty till this night.
This, by his voice, should be a Montague. Fetch me my rapier, boy. What, dares the slave come hither covered with an antic face to fleer and scorn at our solemnity? Now, by the stock and honor of my kin, to strike him dead, I hold it not a sin.
Why, how now, kinsman? Wherefore storm you so?
Uncle, this is a Montague, our foe, a villain that is hither come in spite to scorn at our solemnity this night.
Young Romeo, is it?
'Tis he, that villain Romeo.
Content thee, gentle cuz, let him alone. He bears him like a portly gentleman, and to say truth, Verona brags of him to be a virtuous and well-governed youth. I would not for the wealth of all this town here in my house do him disparagement. Therefore, be patient. Take no note of him. It is my will, the which, if thou respect, show a fair presence and put off these frowns. An ill-beseeming semblance for a feast.
It fits when such a villain is a guest. I'll not endure him.
He shall be endured. What, goodman boy, I say he shall go to. Am I the master here, or you? Go to, you'll not endure him. God shall mend my soul, you'll make a mutiny among my guests. You will set cock-a-hoop, you'll be the man.
Why, uncle, 'tis a shame.
Go to, you are a saucy boy. Is so indeed. This trick may chance to scathe you, I know what. You must contrary me. Marry, 'tis time. Well said, my hearts. You are a princox. Go, be quiet, or... More light, more light. For shame, I'll make you quiet. What, cheerly, my hearts.
Patience perforce with willful choler meeting makes my flesh tremble in their different greeting. I will withdraw, but this intrusion shall, now seeming sweet, convert to bitterest gall.
If I profane with my unworthiest hand this holy shrine, the gentle sin is this. My lips, two blushing pilgrims ready stand to smooth that rough touch with a tender kiss.
Good pilgrim, you do wrong your hand too much. Which mannerly devotion shows in this? For saints have hands that pilgrims' hands do touch, and palm to palm is holy palmer's kiss.
Have not saints lips, and holy palmers too?
Aye, pilgrim, lips that they must use in prayer.
Then, dear saint, let lips do what hands do. They pray, grant thou lest faith turn to despair.
Saints do not move, though grant for prayer's sake.
Then move not, while my prayer's effect I take. Thus, from my lips, by thine, my sin is purged.
Then have my lips the sin that they have took.
Sin from my lips? Oh, trespass sweetly urged, give me my sin again.
You kiss by the book.
Madam, your mother craves a word with you.
What is her mother?
Marry, bachelor, her mother is the lady of the house, and a good lady, and a wise, and virtuous. I nursed her daughter that you talked with all. I tell you, he that can lay hold of her shall have the chinks.
Is she a Capulet? Oh, dear account, my life is my foe's debt. Away, be gone, the sport is at the best. Aye, so I fear, the more is my unrest.
Nay, gentlemen, prepare not to be gone. We have a trifling foolish banquet towards. Is it e'en so? Why then, I thank you all. I thank you, honest gentlemen. Good night. More torches here. Come on then, let's to bed. Ah, sirrah, by my fay, it waxes late. I'll to my rest.
Come hither, nurse. What is yon gentleman?
The son and heir of old Tiberio.
What's he that now is going out of door?
Marry, that, I think, be young Petruchio.
What's he that follows here that would not dance?
Oh, I know not.
Go ask his name. If he be Mariette, my grave is like to be my wedding bed.
His name is Romeo, and a Montague, the only son of your great enemy.
My only love sprung from my only hate. Too early seen, unknown, and known too late. Prodigious birth of love it is to me that I must love a loathed enemy.
What's this? What's this?
A rhyme I learned even now of when I danced with all.
Juliet!
Anon, anon! Come, let's away. The strangers all are gone.
Now old desire doth in his deathbed lie, and young affection gapes to be his heir. That fair for which love groaned for and would die with tender Juliet matched is now not fair. Now Romeo is beloved and loves again, alike bewitched by the charm of looks. But to his foe supposed he must complain, and she steal love's sweet bait from fearful hooks. Being held a foe, he may not have access to breathe such vows as lovers use to swear, and she as much in love, her means much less to meet her new beloved anywhere. But passion lends them power, time means to meet, tempering extremities with extreme sweet.
Can I go forward when my heart is here? Turn back, dull earth, and find thy center out.
Romeo! My cousin! Romeo! Romeo!
He is wise, and on my life hath stolen him home to bed.
He ran this way and leapt this orchard wall. Call, good Mercutio.
Nay, I'll conjure too.
Romeo! Humors, madman, passion, lover!
Appear thou in the likeness of a sigh. Speak but one rhyme, and I am satisfied. Cry but I, me. Pronounce but love and dove. Speak to my gossip Venus one fair word, one nickname for her purblind son and heir, young Abraham Cupid, he that shot so trim when King Cophetua loved the beggar maid. He heareth not, he stirreth not, he moveth not. The ape is dead. And I must conjure him. I conjure thee by Rosaline's bright eyes, by her high forehead and her scarlet lip, by her fine foot, straight leg, and quivering thigh, and the domains that there adjacent lie, that in thy likeness thou appear to us.
And if he hear thee, thou wilt anger him.
This cannot anger him. 'Twould anger him to raise a spirit in his mistress' circle of some strange nature, letting it there stand till she had laid it and conjured it down. That were some spite. My invocation is fair and honest. In his mistress' name, I conjure only but to raise up him.
Come, he hath hid himself among these trees to be consorted with the humorous knight. Blind is his love, and best befits the dark.
If love be blind, love cannot hit the mark. Now will he sit under a medlar tree, and wish his mistress with that kind of fruit, as maids call medlars when they laugh alone. Oh, Romeo, that she were! Oh, that she were an open arse, thou a popprin pair! Romeo! Good night! I'll to my truckle bed. This field bed is too cold for me to sleep. Come! Shall we go?
Go then, for 'tis in vain to seek him here that means not to be found.
He jests at scars that never felt a wound. But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who's already sick and pale with grief, that thou, her maid, art far more fair than she. Be not her maid, since she is envious. Her vestal livery is but sick and green, and none but fools do wear it. Cast it off. It is my lady.
Oh, it is my love. Oh, that she knew she were. She speaks, yet she says nothing. What of that? Her eye discourses. I will answer it. I am too bold. 'Tis not to me she speaks. Two of the fairest stars in all the heaven having some business to entreat her eyes to twinkle in their spheres till they return. What if her eyes were there? They in her head? The brightness of her cheek would shame those stars as daylight doth a lamp. Her eye in heaven would through the airy region stream so bright that birds would sing and think it were not night. See how she leans her cheek upon her hand? Oh, that I were a glove upon that hand, that I might touch that cheek.
Ay, me.
She speaks. Oh, speak again, bright angel, for thou art as glorious to this night, being o'er my head, as is a winged messenger of heaven unto the white, upturned, wondering eyes of mortals that fall back to gaze on him when he bestrides the lazy, puffing clouds and sails upon the bosom of the air.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name. Or if thou wilt not, be but sworn my love, and I'll no longer be a Capulet.
Shall I hear more, or shall I speak at this?
'Tis but thy name that is my enemy. Thou art thyself, though not a Montague. What's Montague? It is nor hand, nor foot, nor arm, nor face. Oh, be some other name belonging to a man. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other word would smell as sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain that dear perfection which he owes without that title. Romeo, doff thy name, and for thy name, which is no part of thee, take all myself.
I take thee at thy word! Call me but love, and I will be new baptized. Henceforth, I never will be Romeo.
What man art thou that thus bescreened in night so stumblest on my counsel?
By a name, I know not how to tell thee who I am. My name, dear saint, is hateful to myself because it is an enemy to thee. Had I it written, I would tear the word.
My ears have yet not drunk 100 words of thy tongue's uttering, yet I know the sound. Art thou not Romeo and a Montague?
Neither, fair maid, if either thee dislike.
How camest thou hither? Tell me, and wherefore? But the orchard walls are high and hard to climb, and the place death, considering who thou art, if any of my kinsmen find thee here.
With love's light wings did I o'erperch these walls. For stony limits cannot hold love out, and what love can do that dares love attempt? Therefore thy kinsmen are no stop to me.
If they do see thee, they will murder thee.
Alack, there lies more peril in thine eye than 20 of their swords. Look thou but sweet, and I am proof against their enmity.
I would not for the world they saw thee here.
I have knight's cloak to hide me from their eyes. And, but thou love me, let them find me here. My life were better ended by their hate than death prorogued, wanting of thy love.
By whose direction foundst thou out this place?
By love, that first did prompt me to inquire. He lent me counsel, and I lent him eyes. I am no pilot, yet wert thou as far as that vast shore washed with the farthest sea, I should adventure for such merchandise.
Thou knowest the mask of night is on my face, else would a maiden blush bepaint my cheek for that which thou hast heard me speak tonight. Fain would I dwell on form, fain deny what I have spoke. But farewell, compliment. Dost thou love me? I know thou wilt say aye, and I will take thy word. Yet if thou swearest, thou mayst prove false. At lovers' perjuries, they say, Jove laughs. Oh, gentle Romeo, if thou dost love, pronounce it faithfully. Or if thou think'st I am too quickly won, I'll frown and be perverse and say thee nay, so thou wilt woo, but else not for the world. In truth, fair Montague, I am too fond, and therefore thou mayst think my behavior light. But trust me, gentlemen, I'll prove more true than those that have more coying to be strange. I should have been more strange, I must confess, but that thou overheardst ere I was ware my true love passion. Therefore pardon me, and not impute this yielding to light love, which the dark night hath so discovered.
Lady, by yonder blessed moon I vow that tips with silver all these fruit tree tops.
Oh, swear not by the moon, then, constant moon, that monthly changes in her circled orb, lest that thy love prove likewise variable.
What shall I swear by?
Do not swear at all. Or if thou wilt swear by thy gracious self, which is the god of my idolatry, and I'll believe thee.
If my heart's dear love...
Well, do not swear. Although I joy in thee, I have no joy of this contract tonight. It is too rash, too unadvised, too sudden, too like the lightning, which doth cease to be ere one can say, it lightens. Sweet, good night. This bud of love, by summer's ripening breath, may prove a beauteous flower when next we meet. Good night. Good night. As sweet repose and rest come to thy heart as that within my breast.
Oh, wilt thou leave me so unsatisfied?
What satisfaction canst thou have tonight?
The exchange of thy love's faithful vow for mine.
I gave thee mine before thou didst request it. And yet I would it were to give again.
Wouldst thou withdraw it? For what purpose, love?
But to be frank and give it thee again. And yet I wish but for the thing I have. My bounty is as boundless as the sea. My love as deep. The more I give to thee, the more I have, for both are infinite. I hear some noise within. Dear love, adieu.
Anon, good nurse!
Sweet Montague, be true. Stay but a little. I will come again.
Oh, blessed, blessed night. I am afeard, being a knight, all this is but a dream. Too flattering, sweet, to be substantial.
3 words, dear Romeo, and good night indeed. If that thy bent of love be honorable, thy purpose marriage, send me word tomorrow by one that I'll procure to come to thee, where and what time thou wilt perform the rite. And all my fortunes at thy foot I'll lay, and follow thee, my lord, throughout the world.
Madam? I come anon!
But if thou mean'st not well, I do beseech thee.
Madam! By and by I come!
To cease thy strife and leave me to my grief. Tomorrow will I send.
So thrive, my soul.
1,000 times good night.
1,000 times the worse to want thy light. Love goes toward love as schoolboys from their books. But love from love, toward school with heavy looks.
Hist! Romeo, hist! Oh, for a falconer's voice to lure this tasseled gentle back again. Bondage is hoarse and may not speak aloud. Else would I tear the cave where Echo lies and make her airy tongue more hoarse than mine with repetition of my Romeo!
It is my soul that calls upon my name. How silver sweet sound lovers' tongues by night, like softest music to attending ears.
Romeo!
My dear.
What o'clock tomorrow shall I send to thee?
By the hour of 9.
I will not fail 20 years till then. I have forgot why I did call thee back.
Let me stand here till thou remember it.
I shall forget to have thee still stand there, remembering how I love thy company.
And I'll still stay to have thee still forget, forgetting any other home but this.
'Tis almost morning. I would have thee gone, and yet no farther than a wanton's bird that lets it hop a little from his hand, like a poor prisoner in his twisted gyves, and with a silken thread plucks it back again, so loving, jealous of his liberty.
I would I were thy bird.
Sweet, so would I. Yet I should kill thee with much cherishing. Good night. Good night. parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say good night till it be morrow.
Sleep dwell upon thine eyes, peace in thy breast. Would I were sleep and peace so sweet to rest. Hence will I to my ghostly friar's close cell, his help to crave, and my dear hap to tell.
The gray-eyed morn smiles on the frowning night, checkering the eastern clouds with streaks of light, and fleckled darkness like a drunkard reels from forth day's path and Titan's fiery wheels. Now, ere the sun advances burning eye, the day to cheer and night's dank dew to dry, I must upfill this osier cage of ours with baleful weeds and precious juiced flowers. The earth, that's nature's mother, is her tomb. What is her burying grave, that is her womb. And from her womb, children of diverse kind, we sucking on her natural bosom find. Many for many virtues excellent, none but for some, and yet all different. Oh, mickle is the powerful grace that lies in plants, herbs, stones, and their true qualities. For naught so vile that on the earth doth live, but to the earth some special good doth give. Nor aught so good, but strained from that fair use, revolts from true birth, stumbling on abuse. Virtue itself turns vice, being misapplied, and vice, sometime by action, dignified. Within the infant rind of this weak flower, poison hath residence, and medicine power. For this being smelt, with that part cheers each part, being tasted, stays all senses with the heart. To such opposed kings encamp them still in man, as well as herbs. Grace and rude will, and where the worser is predominant, full soon the cankered death eats up that plant.
Good morrow, father.
Benedicite, what early tongue so sweet saluteth me? Young son, it argues that distempered head so soon to bid good morrow to thy bed. Care keeps his watch in every old man's eye, and where care lodges, sleep will never lie. But where unbruised youth with unstuffed brain doth couch his limbs, there golden sleep doth reign. Therefore thy earliness doth me assure thou art uproused with some distemperature. Or if not so, then here I hit it right, our Romeo hath not been in bed tonight.
That last is true. The sweeter rest was mine.
God pardon sin. Wast thou with Rosaline?
With Rosaline, my ghostly father? No, I have forgot that name and that name's woe.
That's my good son. But where hast thou been then?
I'll tell thee ere thou ask it me again. I have been feasting with mine enemy, where on a sudden one hath wounded me that's by me wounded. Both our remedies within thy help and holy physic lies. I bear no hatred, blessed man, for lo, my intercession likewise steads my foe.
Be plain, good son, and homely in thy drift. Riddling confession finds but riddling shrift.
Then plainly know my heart's dear love is set on the fair daughter of rich Capulet.
Oh.
As mine on hers, so hers is set on mine, and all combined,